Welcome to the Work the System podcast, where we help entrepreneurs make more and work less using systems. And I'm your host, Josh Fonger. And today I've got a special guest. I have Tom Poland. Tom is a multiple best-selling marketing author. He's clocked 39 years as a sales and marketing professional. And since 1995, he's been a specialist in generating inbound new client inquiries. He lives in Castaways Beach, Australia, and says that he's voluntarily married. All right. Well, Tom, welcome to the show today.
Thanks, Josh. Great to be here.
So, Tom, why don't you give us the backstory? How did you get into being a multiple author and just being an expert at inbound marketing?
I guess it was, they say, the mother of invention is necessity. And my story starts, close on four decades ago, where I had my own business, and I've had a bunch of businesses and managed a bunch of teams and sold a bunch of businesses. But this particular one, I understood very early on that every business was really essentially about marketing. And if there wasn't a marketing machine at the heart and the soul and the core of the business, then you could have the best product in the world and you'd probably go broke. So I set off on something of a quest to find out how marketing works, because I always loved the idea that someone would just find my product or service and make an inquiry and buy it without me having to do any of the hard work of selling. And long story short, I invested in a lot of programs. I literally went around the world and sat at the feet of many marketing masters and would go back and implement everything. And to my horror, found that not much made any sort of a difference. So I figured out that because I was marketing services and advice, it took me quite a few years to figure this out, but it was a different style of marketing. Hmm. So the types of marketing where you could sell a set of golf clubs for 50% off on a billboard next to a freeway didn't work for services or advice. And then later in my career, we had this thing called software, which didn't exist at the start of it. And that also fitted into a similar category. It was kind of halfway between hardware, which is the golf clubs of the house or whatever, physical cars that could be marketed, versus advice, such as consultants, business coaches, that type of person would be marketing. So completely different styles of marketing. And if you try to teach marketing, one style of marketing that fits everything from the dry cleaner to the chiropractor, the management consultant, it's not going to work. At least for someone, it won't work. So essentially, this journey that I'm now still on, some almost 40 years later, came about because of my frustration and disappointment at the marketing that I had paid money to learn that didn't actually work. And I would say probably 70% of the audience has paid money to someone or something, a program or a course or a person or a business coach or a marketing advisor or something, and they've gone and implemented and found they didn't get any results. So my experience that I had way back then was ubiquitous. When I started my fourth business in 1995, I was really good at marketing, and by that stage it was working pretty darn well. And a lot of people kept asking me about, what are you doing for your marketing? And they were more interested in the marketing of my programs than they were in my actual programs. So that's when the light bulb went off. And what effective marketing does, I think more than anything else, is it gives someone an offer that they're already looking for. And so that's what I did. So I wrote some books on the subject and changed course.
So just to give a real wide lens so we can then zoom in detail, do you have like a distinguishing line between sales efforts and marketing efforts, just so that when people listen in, they know exactly what you're talking about?
Sure. Yes, indeed. So sales is what you do once you've got an inquiry, and marketing is generating that inquiry. And if you're the worse you are at the marketing, the better you have to be at selling.
Okay.
In fact, you could say the opposite as well. Really good marketing makes selling redundant. And in fact, one of my favorite sayings is that selling is what you have to do when your marketing sucks. And that's a little tongue in cheek, but I've built sales training programs and I've trained hundreds of salespeople. It's not like I'm anti-selling, but what I discovered over the decades is that the better you get at marketing, the less selling you need to do. And most people feel uncomfortable selling. Selling is convincing, and marketing is confirming. Marketing says, we think this is what you want. Can we confirm this is what you want? And selling is going, I really need to convince you, Josh, this is what you want. You may not have been thinking about this, but it's really, really good for you and you should have it. More life insurance or teeth whitening or something. You hadn't been thinking about that. And that probably leads us nicely into the difference between inbound marketing versus outbound marketing. Because what inbound marketing does is it makes someone an offer after we've confirmed that they're interested in that.
Okay.
Whereas outbound marketing makes that offer before we know if they're interested in that thing. So the billboard on the side of the freeway I talked about offering, you know, discount golf clubs, that's outbound marketing. We don't know if the drivers on that freeway are interested in golf clubs or not, but there's probably going to be enough of them that we can get away with it. And that was what I discovered way back when, you know, close on 40 years ago, why the marketing that I had bought for and implemented wasn't working is because it was designed to work with outbound marketing, send out 10,000 direct mail letters, send out, you know, as it was later on, 10,000 faxes, or later on, 10,000 SMSs. And it was that outbound marketing that was the problem. I'm not saying outbound marketing is good or bad. I'm just saying it doesn't work very well if you're marketing services, advice, or more expensive, you know, high-end software. And that's what I had to change, is I had to change from outbound marketing to inbound marketing.
So inbound, so would this podcast be considered inbound because people are familiar with this channel, they've been following for a while, we have a decent sized list, and so we're having this conversation, and so they've already shown some interest, and so we're talking together, would this be some level of inbound marketing?
This is a really effective medium for inbound marketing because it's what I call the 100 sleeping bears analogy. So let's say we had 100 listeners, and it's probably a lot more than that, but let's just say there was 100 listeners. They're like 100 sleeping bears in a forest. And let's say magically we knew that three of those bears were hungry for our honey being a metaphor for our services or products, the bears being a metaphor for potential clients, but they're only prospects. So what outbound marketing would do is it would go running through that forest with a big, long, pointy stick and jab the bears in the ass to wake one up one at a time. We'd wave the honey pot in front of their face. And if they're, you know, if their hunger exceeded their anger, they'd eat the honey and not us. So outbound marketing can just piss a lot of people off. Mm-hmm. Whereas what inbound marketing does is it puts the honeypot outside the forest, and the three bears that are hungry will wake up because they smell the honey and they go, oh, there's honey around here, and they'll come out of the forest. Mm-hmm. So the medium does not define, this is, I think, a common misconception, the medium does not define whether a thing is outbound or inbound. It's the sequence that defines it. So if I started straight off and saying, hey, everyone, you should join my program, you should work with me, and here's the link, that's outbound marketing, even though the context is a podcast.
Yep.
Whereas if I was smart enough and waited to the end till you said, well, where can people find out more? Then we've probably got the three hungry bears tuned in at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So what defines marketing as inbound or outbound is not the medium.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sequence. So you take a pay-per-click ad, for example. People say, oh, that's definitely inbound marketing, because people click on it and they go into your website or your offer. Uh-huh. Depends what you offer. If you offer your services and there's a dollar ticket attached and you could buy here, that's outbound marketing.
Mm-hmm.
We place the ad, we've given them the price, we've told them what it is, that's outbound marketing, go get it. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm just saying it doesn't work for professionals, marketing services, advice, or high ticket software items.
Mm-hmm.
We could use the same pay-per-click ad to offer people a special report or a video series or an educational tour or demonstration of our services. That's inbound marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Because once they click on that and they get engaged in the content, they've flagged that they're one of the three hungry bears, and then we make the offer.
Mm-hmm.
So almost every marketing medium can be used in an outbound way or an inbound way. If you're marketing products such as selling houses, golf clubs, or even holidays, these physical type experiences work pretty well with outbound marketing. But if you are, say, a solicitor, compensation solicitors aside, foreclosure attorneys aside, but if you're practicing law on a day-to-day basis, it's going to be very difficult for you to make outbound marketing effective. Business coaches, management consultants, people marketing online services, programs, courses, etc., really need to have inbound marketing in place.
Okay. So where do people go wrong with their purchasing decisions with marketing? So just for the standard small business, you know, whether it is a high ticket or a low ticket, like, is it because they've bought into this idea that they must have ads, or they must, you know, Google ads, or they must have direct mail, or they must have a certain medium, or why do they make bad choices?
Well, it depends on what the purchasing as to why it's a bad choice. And Hopefully that doesn't sound too facetious, but so take advertising, for example. People generally invest in advertising, but they normally go into it with their eyes half wide open going, I'm probably going to lose half my money on this, but it might work. Mm-hmm. And outsourcing advertising, say, to a radio station or TV station or even a local newspaper or something like that, it's easy. You just write the check and they'll do pretty much everything for you. So that's the reason why a lot of people get into try advertising. Mm-hmm. They understand they might not get a return on it, and they'll ask the sales rep, you know, can you guarantee me a return, or what are the likely results? And, you know, most of those sales reps are surprisingly ethical and go, we can't guarantee results. Mm-hmm. But they take the money probably knowing that there's half of it at least going to get, may as well be flushed down the toilet. So that's a reason why this is the primary motivation why people go into advertising, mm-hmm. even though they are suspicious that it may not work, is because it's quick and it's easy and it's simple. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the marketing that doesn't work, there's around six reasons. Normally it's too complicated. You take Facebook advertising and all the funnels and tripwires and segmentation and autoresponders and split testing and pay-per-click testing. And it's incredibly complicated to get that well. But the promise behind it is incredibly seductive, because you can just set this thing up and go down to the beach for half an hour a day on your laptop and let all the money wash over your body because it's all automated. So it's a seductive value proposition, isn't it? But most people don't get it working because it's too expensive. It's too complicated. Mm-hmm. It produces poor quality leads, so it's therefore ineffective. But the biggest reason why most people invest in marketing, it doesn't end up working, is really, really simple. And by my estimation, 97% of marketing efforts fail for this one simple reason. And it's, mm-hmm. and it's that we don't want to do it.
Why don't we want to do it? Tell me what tells us why.
Well, we want the outcome, but not the input. Okay. So the message is that we have to find a style of marketing that we want to do. And if, you know, I'm 63 years old, so I've got the benefit of some hindsight here. If I look back on my life, the things that I've done consistently and the things I've got incredibly, you know, well, modestly, I should modestly aside from that, I got quite good at them, are the things I've wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And even some of them I didn't get very good at, but I never did things that I didn't want to do consistently well. Take weight loss. If I could find a weight loss system that I wanted to do, the food that I wanted to eat when I wanted to eat, I'd lose weight. If I tried to fit myself into the discipline and force myself to do some sort of weight loss program, I never persisted with it. And this is ubiquitous. This is a universal truth. It's the same with marketing. You know, if someone says to me, look, you can get a lead you want from going to business networking meetings and conferences, but I'm an introvert and I hate doing that. Even if I start it, I probably won't keep doing it. Mm-hmm. So we've got to find a marketing method that when we wake up in the morning, we go, oh, goody. And this is why LinkedIn marketing often fails, because people do not want to go wake up in the morning and go, oh, I'll log into LinkedIn. Cool. I'll post 50, you know, connect 50 people and I'll ask them if they want SEO services today. You don't want to do that, so don't do it. You know, so find a marketing method that you genuinely are inclined to want to do, even if you don't know how to do it very well. If you want to do a thing, you'll do it consistently, and that consistency will take you to a standard of excellence.
So what are some things that people like to do? I'm thinking of my clients, and a lot of them enjoy doing their thing, but they don't enjoy marketing their thing. So is there like a list of the things that people actually enjoy commonly?
Well, to answer that question, what you have to do is you have to segment the marketing process and, you know, work the system. We talk about breaking the processes down into a series of smaller systems, and those systems are a series of actions and so on. So the marketing method that I favor, that I like, that works for me, and it took me too many years, has someone else initiating the process. So I build the system, prove it works, hire someone to do that, train them on it, performance manage them, incentivize them, and then you can forget it, right? So my system is that I run a webinar once a month, and it's a demonstration of how I work with my clients. And this is what I recommend that all my clients do. Don't run training webinars, run demonstrations. Run them online because it gives you geographical reach. They're incredibly efficient. They're incredibly cost effective. You can actually run 40-minute webinars now with Zoom for nothing, which is a really good price. So you can reach out well beyond driving distance. You don't have to hire conference centers or anything else, because the event is still one of the very best marketing mediums for inbound marketing. Because but you do them as a demonstration, not as a free training exercise. And then we have joint venture partners promote that demonstration, that online demonstration. And I have someone else lining up those joint venture partners. So every first Thursday of every month, I wake up at 6 a.m. and prepare for my 7 a.m. presentation. Mm-hmm. And we have attendees from all over the world. And they are the 100, you know, they're the 100 sleeping bears. And three mm-hmm. of them come and buy the honey at the end of it. So that's a classic example. Because I even though I'm an introvert, and it's true of, I think a lot of comedians are actually introverts, and people who like to talk a lot like me are actually introverts. I wouldn't go out. You know, my wife goes back to Germany for a month, and my worst fear is that the phone will ring and someone will invite me over to dinner because I'm on my own. I like being on my own. So as an introvert, I'm actually quite, you know, if you put me in front of a microphone where there's 1,000 people in a live physical event or 100 people on a webinar, I come to life. That's what I do, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But after the show's over, I crawl back into my shell. So that's a style of marketing. It really suits me. Mm-hmm. If someone else has got the audiences for me, and all I have to do is go through my PowerPoint, which is well-structured and well-presented, and I'm confident people are going to get value and the right people reach out at the end, that's something I wake up in the morning and want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't wake up in the morning and want to do split testing on different funnels. I ran Facebook ads and funnels for 5 years and was quite profitable for us before it became too expensive. But again, a lot of that was outsourced.
So for people who have never done inbound in a systematic way, do you have a kind of a process you take them through where they have to start to think through what they like and how to present it and how to create an offer and how to create a demonstration that works? I mean, what is the process?
Right. So we start with the marketing model that everyone needs to understand. Mm-hmm. Outbound, inbound, selling fridges or brides or cocktails. What? You know, you've got to have an audience, right? So when you understand that, it doesn't matter how good your product is, how good your message is. If you don't have anyone hearing it, receiving your offer, knowing mm-hmm. about your brand, you're not going to sell anything, obviously. So you've got to have an audience. And therefore, the question is, what's the best audience for my market and for my service? We can come back to that if you want. Got to have an audience. You've got to have an asset through which you get your message or your offer out to the market. That can be the billboard I talked about. It can be the webinars I talked about. But there's a vehicle through which we have to get our offer and our message about our products and services out to the marketplace. Pay-per-click mm-hmm. advertising. There's about 115 different options there. So you need an audience, you need an asset, and you need a call to action. Mm-hmm. And so the call to action can be to buy something, it can be to book a consult, it can be to do a trial or a demo. So there's a lot of different options for audiences. Amazon has an audience for books, for example, for book mm-hmm. readers. You know, radio stations have audiences. There's audiences are everywhere. You buy a list, you could, LinkedIn's an audience. So lots of, what's the best audience? Depends on your service, your product, your market. Uh-huh. What's the best asset? Because a lot of those, you could write a book, which is quite long and involved. I've written five of them, so it takes a while. Podcasts is an asset. Webinars are an asset. So what's the best one? And then finally, the call to action. So if you start at the bottom, for most people, marketing services, advice, or software, the best call to action is book a time for us to have a chat and see if this is the right thing for you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna jump in and then actually run through a scenario using your process.
Okay.
Unless I'm screwing up your instructions. Well, and the reason why is because, I mean, you may or may not know this, I'm certifying a bunch of coaches and consultants, and I'm training them, and now they're like, hey, Josh, I want to put on some events. And some of them actually have done it, and they want to get out there in the local markets, some of them online, but the ones that I'm thinking of, they actually want to do a live event right. in their city, and then get clients to help them put systems in their businesses. And I can loosely give them this process, but what would you advise them to do? Like how would they go about doing that? What would they think of? Right.
So if we look at that, we're wanting to, and live physical events versus live online events is great for a local territory, a region, mm-hmm. you know, a city or a suburb, et cetera, a town, et cetera. One of the very best ways you can generate new clients is to get people, the hundred sleeping bears into that room. And mm-hmm. because the physical connection, eye contact, body language, everything else we know is going to be really effective. So if we look at the model, the asset is the seminar. We'll call mm-hmm. it a seminar or event. The call to action is going to be a feedback form at the end where you ask people to complete it and they go in for a prize draw, which is a copy of Work the System. Mm-hmm. And they rate the session 1 to 10, provide a little testimonial, and then there's a little checkbox that, yes, I'm interested in finding out more about how you work with your clients. Please give me a call. Mm-hmm. And they fill in their mobile phone number and email address, and someone contacts them for the consult. Mm-hmm. Or better still is you give them the URL, bookachatwithjosh.com, mm-hmm. and they can do it on their phones right now, find a time to have a chat with you. Mm-hmm. And you let them know there's only, you know, there's 100 people in the room, there's only 10 spots available this week. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of, create some genuine scarcity there, but that's the call to action, is to book a consult. Mm-hmm. The asset is the live event, and that there are 8 objectives to achieve during that live event, because it's a marketing event at its heart. Mm-hmm. So we can come back to those if you want to later on, but the really tricky part, so the asset, what happens during that hour, that 2 hours or half day, whatever it is absolutely fundamentally critical. And the sequence of that is fundamentally critical. It's not until around 2/3 through the event that people should be starting to learn about how it is that your licensee works with their clients. Mm-hmm. You know, as most people jump in and say, hey, you know, let me show you how it all works. We've got to eliminate competitors before that. We've got to establish that your licensee is an expert at what they do and is credible and is trustworthy. Yeah. We need to eliminate financial risks and hurdles. We need to eliminate the risk of disappointment, which is seldom spoken about, which is a great barrier to people buying, is what if I move forward with this and it's not for me? Or what if I move forward with this, even worse, pay money, it doesn't work out? The unconscious wants to avoid disappointment like crazy. Okay, so all those barriers need to be removed before we get to even the call to action.
And that's my concern right there is it sounds like you've been through a lot of training on this. So you get 100 people. Let's just say that you are a coach, right? Let's say you're a coach or consultant, and you could fix someone's business, right? And you get 100 people in the room. How should you structure your content to lead them through that? I mean, is there like a formula or an acronym they need to follow?
Yeah. Well, there's certainly a formula, and I call it the persuasion sequence, and I go through it in the book that I sent you, Marketing the Invisible. I spell it out more succinctly in this book,
okay,
in our marketing book. But it's a persuasion sequence, and it starts with the title. Mm-hmm. And the title needs to be Benefit Rich. So our title is, you know, how independent professionals in 27 cities and 15 countries around the world are, and it goes to big type font, generating a weekly flow of high quality inbound new client inquiries. Mm-hmm. The subtitle is Without Cost or Complication. The title can be long because people are going to read it. It's not an elevator pitch. It's not a USP, which is often verbal. Yeah. So we get more real estate with a title for an event, be that a webinar or a seminar, than we would say if we were verbally articulating the benefit. It's mm-hmm. got to be benefit rich. It's not about a product. It's not about a service. It's not about a program. It's not about a brand, it's about the benefit. That's the first thing in the sequence, is the title. Next mm-hmm. thing is you tell people if they're in the right place, because you describe who this is going to be, who this is for. And then you describe your ideal client. And so they're sitting there nodding, going, oh, good, that's me. He's just described me. Mm-hmm. And then you tell them why they should listen to you. And this is the years of experience. This is the results you've achieved for your clients, etc. Mm-hmm. And then you tell them what the promise is. And the promise takes the title and it puts it into, invokes as many senses as you can. So my promise is, you wake up on a Monday morning and while sipping your coffee, you feel a smile spread across your face as you open your calendar and you see bookings from people who want to know more about working with you. And these bookings have come in, that you haven't had to chase them. And they already know what your fees are and they've confirmed they can afford to work with you. And they're coming to that meeting hoping to confirm that working with you is the right thing to do. So you're not going to have to do any selling. Hmm. So you'll notice that in the promise, which is fourth or fifth in the sequence, we've invoked the senses. You feel a smile spread across your face as you open your calendar and actually say Outlook, iCal, or the GCal. Mm-hmm. So they're actually in their mind seeing their calendar, right? So it's an NLP, neuro-linguistic programming technique, where we're invoking as many of the senses as we can to create a picture of what it's going to look like when they've implemented what you're about to show them. Hmm. Subtext, when they've implemented your program or working with you. So that's the trend. So that's the promise. Hmm. We then have to go through the pain avoidance. This to get this promise, here are all the things you should not do. And then you list the things they hate doing. the things they've tried and you explain to them why they haven't worked. For example, I've explained why Facebook ads are a bad idea with funnels and split testing. It's very complicated. It's very expensive. It produces poor quality leads relative to your other options. So at that point, they're nodding and going, oh my God, I certainly don't want to do that. Yes, I did try that. Oh, that's why it didn't work. So you're increasing what I call relatability at that point. People are going, this guy, this woman or this man could have been a fly on the wall of my business, you know, or my personal life. That is exactly what I've tried and explain why it didn't work. Now, if you explain to someone what they've tried and why it didn't work, you will almost always inevitably have them in the palm of your hand for when you explain what does actually work. Because your believability and credibility and relatability has gone through the roof. Then you explain the principles behind why what you do works so well. I have three principles. You're not Hugh Jackman, which is basically you can't propose to people at first sight. You've got to give them some dates, inbound marketing. You go through the principles and then you show them the model of how the three steps, only three. I mean, I have 10 in my program, but I only talk about three because the enemy of motivation is complication. And the demonstration part, which is what I'm talking about now, this is a let me show you how we generate the inbound leads. Three steps. You've got to keep this simple. And the biggest mistake most people make at this point is thinking that they've got to create a lot of information here. And you kill people's motivation when you give them complication. And so that gives you an idea of a very specific sequence that people need to follow in a marketing type event, such as the one that you've just asked about.
Wow.
Oh, and then there's a call to action.
Yeah.
But before the call to action, you got to tell them what the cost is of working with you, what that investment is. Tell them who qualifies, who doesn't qualify, not in an arrogant, snobbish way, but in a reasonable way. This is who I can help. This is who I can't help. If you have an interest, then you know, go to this URL, book a time for us to have a chat. So that's when you wake up on the Monday morning, haven't done the event, and there's this whole bunch of people who booked a time to talk with you. They know what your fees are. They've confirmed that they can afford to work with you. They've told you with our system that they're ready to start if you agree it's a good idea. They've attended your event, your webinar, whatever it happens to be. So we're talking about the highest quality new client inquiry. Gone are the days where someone books a time and you realize later on they were just there to pick your brain. Gone are the days where you're with a prospect and they're excited and you're excited about working together and they say, great, look, I'm going on a world tour for 6 months, but I'll be sure and give you a call when I get back because I'm really excited about this, right? Those days are gone. And I can see you smiling. This has happened as well, right?
Sure.
And gone are the days where people get to the end and you finally tell them the price and they go, oh my goodness, I had no idea the cost. I'm sorry, but I can't afford to work with you. Those days are all gone. We're doing highly qualified inbound new client inquiries.
Well, this is... For anyone who's doing exactly what you mentioned there, Tom, hopefully they took notes. I took notes. That was really detailed. Now, maybe this doesn't apply, maybe it does. So what if you are selling something that is low tech? Let's say you are a massage therapist and you're selling $100 massages. Can you still glean some of the same psychology and the same sequence of events to find your ideal people?
Yeah, it's exactly the same. Okay. So while a massage therapist is not my ideal client, you've still got exactly the same model. You've got to need an audience. You've got to have an asset through which to get your message about your magic massages out to that audience. And you need a call to action. But at that price point, the call to action is not a consult. The call to action is buy the thing, book the massage. So content marketing is still good for the masseur. I mean, the best thing a masseur can put into place once they have some clients coming in as a referral system, develop some referral cards, but by, you know, content marketing on the local, your local community Facebook group, you know, being active there, that the audience is the Facebook group. It's local. They've got to drive. They're not going to drive more than half an hour, probably with rare exception. And if they do, they won't keep doing it. As my wife's an acupuncturist and craniosacral therapist. So she has a very physical business akin to a massage business, you know, there's 90 minute appointments and price points similar and so on. So a local Facebook group, whilst it's a pretty crap idea for a business coach or a consultant or someone like that, is really good for a massage therapist or a chiropractor.
So
local business networking meetings, the audience is already there, right? There's a business networking meeting, the asset, take along a card, with a first session 50% off with the URL on there so people can book online, make it very easy for them to get the smartphone out and book a time. Yeah, I booked a time with you. So it's the same model. It's mm-hmm. the audience, the asset, and the call to action.
And then in terms of deciding whether you go to an appointment versus just buy the thing, is there a certain sweet spot price point that seems to kind of the inflection point there?
It's relative to the type of service that's being offered. But once you get over around $500 a month, mm-hmm. as you know, if it's a subscription-based program or something like that, once you get over that, it's much more difficult to get people signed up off the back of an event or at an event. I have seen people get signed up at with a $20,000 price ticket at an event, but we're talking people that have, you know, $10 million turnover business. So it's relative to the revenue of the business as to what you can get away with in terms of an offer, a live offer, say at a seminar or on a webinar.
Okay. Well, that's good. It's good. Kind of a rule of thumb, over $500 a month, then you have to start thinking about having a real conversation with somebody.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking to Airbus executives or Boeing executives, then, you know, that could be $1 million.
Right.
But it's more often than not, in my testing over many, many, many years, mm-hmm. it's far more profitable to me if I have the bandwidth, I have the space in my calendar to offer a consult. Mm-hmm. Because some clients will become $50,000 clients, some prospects will become $50,000 clients, some will become, you know, $6,000 clients, and so on. And if I have a consult, I can direct them. I call it the multi-directional consult. I can mm-hmm. direct them whether they're a one-on-one client, whether they're a program client, or whether I refer them to someone else. So that is always more profitable, provided I have space in my calendar for those consults.
Makes sense. Now, because I've got to run to my next call, and I know you've got to run too, I want to make sure I give you the floor a little bit. So what's one question that I didn't ask you, but I should have asked you?
I think it's around people chasing shiny things and why people do that. Mm-hmm. And so why do people chase shiny things? And the answer, I guess you want the answer as well.
Yeah.
Be nice. Because we're seduced by the short, the simple, and the quick. And we have pain now, so we want a solution now. The problem with that is it keeps us on a treadmill of stress and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's kept trying the short, the simple, the shiny things, will eventually get to the point where they wake up and they go, okay, well, that didn't work so well. So my best piece of advice is figure out the strategy. So if your strategy is aligned with mine and you want to get audiences from other people's networks, and because it's free and high quality, and you want to run events, whether that's online or offline, and you want to have a call to action, we know that strategy works. So stick to it until you get it working. And by all means, do some business networking meetings or go to conferences and pick up the odd, you know, random bit of marketing as you go. But make sure that you work towards the strategy and you make it successful before you try something else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great advice. So build a strategy and stick with it. And then you can tack on the shiny objects maybe once it's built and working right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to do that, find someone you trust. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're very trustworthy. Sam is very trustworthy. Work the System is a brand that's very trustworthy. So invest in the brand and the person that you trust. And when you get the doubts and the fears and the suspicions and the frustrations and maybe even some disappointments, stick with it, because you made a decision to trust that brand or trust that person. Because if you've got someone you can trust and you've got something that'll work, stick with it until you get it working. Don't go and chase another shiny thing.
Definitely. Well, then if someone's saying you're going to be a millionaire in a few months, probably best to move on to something else. Because it's hard to build a business. And you and I have been there doing it long enough to know that it's the companies that are still doing it and doing it well are the ones worth checking out. Yeah. Well, Tom, I wish I could stay longer. This has been really helpful to me, hopefully to our audience. Where can people find out more about you and your business?
Best thing they do is have a chat. So they can go to ineedinbound.com. It's letter I, as in me, ineedinbound.com. Book a 15-minute chat. I'll be happy to have a conversation and see if I've got something here that can help you. That's the best thing they can do, Josh.
Perfect. All right. So ineedinbound.com. We'll put that in the show notes. as well, depending on where you're listening or watching this. But I would take, you know, if you're the right person for Tom, I'd take him up on the offer because he is a pro. Every time I talk to him, I learn a lot. So again, Tom, appreciate you making the time. This has been great. And thanks everybody who's watching the podcast or listening, who's here with us live. We're going to be doing another podcast in about a week. So stay tuned to that and check it out. Also, if you want to get a copy of the book, Work the System, you can go get it for free at workthesystem.com, or you can get a free copy mailed to you if you leave us a review. Again, wherever you're watching or listening to this, leave us a review and send us a picture of that to info@workthesystem.com. And once a week, we grab a name out of a hat and mail out a copy of the book. Otherwise, we'll stay tuned and we'll see you next week. And again, Tom, thank you for being on the call.
Thanks, Josh. Cheers, everyone.